David's wise counsel to Solomon. David's wise counsel to Solomon. That's the title for this morning's meditation of God's word. This is in line with the continuation of our series, The Heroes of Faith, and we take time to consider the important personalities in the heroes of faith. Those names that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, as well as those names can be added into the list, and that's what we have been considering. Quite an exhaustive list as we run through the pages of God's Word, the Bible. David was one of the outstanding personalities in the list of the heroes of faith. And as we have been spending week after week to study about this man, and I hope you have been blessed with this message, I want to conclude our study on David. We spent almost a month studying various aspects of David's life. Today's portion brings us into the conclusion of David's life. As he concludes his life on earth, as he prepares to depart from the face of the earth, David wanted to pass on the spiritual legacy to the next generation. David's spiritual legacy to the next generation. That's where 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and chapter 29 come. David has a long discourse in these two chapters. First, David counsels to his people, as he being the king, the people of Israel, his countrymen. He had a personal declaration. He wanted to communicate unto them his heart's thoughts and passions as he has been experiencing in his relationship with the Lord, which he did. And then he takes some time to have a personal communion with his son as well. We know Solomon, his son, who would become the next king. So David was very concerned that I must pass on the spiritual legacy that the Lord has blessed me with unto my son, Solomon. And that's where particularly these two verses come in. I would not be just sticking with these two verses. There will be other portions also from this passage, chapter 28 and 29. I will be drawing your attention. But this is where I want to focus on this morning. David's wise, godly counsel. In fact, what David spells out in these two verses, which we just read, were 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 to 10. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart, or loyal heart, as another translation put it, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be fond of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed of this, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. In these two verses, I call it, David spells out to his son the key for a man's success. Success in life. David, in fact, mentions here three things which he relates with his life that spanned for many, many years. By now, David has ruled for 40 years. And he lived more than those 40 years during his earthly sojourn. He waited for 40 years to be the king of Israel. Saul was ruling, and then he became the king. Saul ruled for 40 years. Then he became the king, another 40 years. And then his childhood, almost 100 years of his life. And David, all these 100 years, almost 100 years of his life, great lessons, great spiritual experience. And while the time has come to pass away from the scene, David didn't want to go off just quietly like that. David wants to make sure the spiritual legacy would be passed on to the generation. And that's what's so important for us. And that's where I thought, before we move on to the next person to study together, spend a few minutes to consider a portion from the final words of this great man. This great man. So I zero in to these two verses this morning and to study together with you. David's counsel. David's mantra in our language, if we call it. David's counsel for a successful life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things. Number one, David says here, "My son Solomon, know you the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart." This is my first point. A consecrated heart. If you want to be a person who has a meaningful life in this world, first thing that I want to bring to your attention from the life of David, from this counsel that David gives his son Solomon, a consecrated heart. Oh, my son Solomon, it is not the riches that I have accumulated all these years that I am so excited to pass on to you in these my final hours on my earthly journey. And David was a very, very wealthy man. This chapter and the next chapter when we read, particularly next chapter when we read, David lists out before his son what and all he has already done to build the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. David was really blessed by the Lord with riches. So he prepared all for Solomon to build the temple. But the Lord told David, "You are not the person whom I have chosen to build the temple." Take a look into verse 3. chapter 28, verse 3, the reason that God did not allow David to physically build the temple. The Lord tells David, you have shed blood, right? Chronicles 28:3. But God said unto me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and has shed blood. So now you know the reason. Eh? God loved David so much. If David could have done that also, it would have been a great accomplishment. But God did not allow him to do that, because David's focus was what? The extension of the empire, to capture all the land that the Lord promised to Abraham, to their forefather, that it was David. So David was very much engaged in the physical restoration, strengthening the borders, establishing the strongholds of the nation Israel, for which of course he had to shed blood. And the Lord said, since your hands are with so much blood, I deprive you, let your son do it. But when it comes to his son, the son must understand, my father prepared everything so I can just go anyhow and do it. No! Children, please listen. You know, when we get into the things of life, it is not just anyhow as the way that we think, and you know, I have my own wisdom. I am better than my dad, better than my mom. You know, they don't have this much education. I have better education. I have better gadgets around me. So I can just go on my own way and pause a while and ponder. The closing words of great men, particularly biblical men. And David has a very wise, significant, important counsel for us this morning, as David passed that on to Solomon. My son Solomon, you must know the God of your father and serve him. What a beautiful counsel, my dear friends. You must know the God of your father and serve him. As we prepare to hand over our daughter to another man's hand, which will be happening this Friday, if at all anything I want to tell my daughter, it is this. I have already determined when I will have the congratulation message on that day, that this is what I want to pass on to my daughter, and this is what I want to give to my children. My son Solomon, you know the God, you should know the God of your father and serve him. My father has this much accomplished. My father has accomplished this much, so I want to overtake him in accomplishments. And so fathers and mothers will advise the children, oh, this is where you must aim for. I don't discourage in encouraging our children that way. But remember, Remember, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, parents, youngsters, and even children who are listening this morning, how can we be successful in this life? First and foremost, David says here, know the God of your father. And for David to tell this to Solomon, David knew truly, truly, and experienced truly, truly Yahweh, the power of Yahweh. Remember one of the sermons that I have preached 2 weeks ago. David was anointed by God. When that anointment came upon David, David's understanding, spiritual sensitivity, spiritual wisdom, and spiritual empowerment, David experienced that in his life. God, Yahweh, controlling his life, guiding him even when failures came and he was flat on the floor. David was flat on the floor, ready to die and end his life on this earth. That much he was devastated because of sin. That much he was devastated because of sin. But David did not give up, because he was a godly man, because he was God's chosen one. He rose up, or the Lord raised him up. That's the beauty of our personal relationship with God. That's the beauty of our personal relationship with God. That's the beauty of knowing a God of our fathers, the living and true God. Even when knowingly or unknowingly we end up in a devastating situation, that is not the end of our life. There is mercy evermore unto us. David experienced that in his life. God sent his prophet Nathan unto David, and Nathan went there and tore him apart. David realized, yes, God, I have sinned. We don't want to spend much time over there. We already meditated. But that's because of the personal relationship. David knew the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. My son, David tells Solomon, my son, Solomon, know thou the God of thy father and serve him. How he should serve him? That's the point here. With a perfect heart, a consecrated heart. Perfect heart does not mean that a heart where no guile at all. That does not mean that Solomon will not commit any mistakes. A perfect heart means a heart that is consecrated to God. Matthew 5:48, the Lord Jesus Christ in his Sermon on the Mount told his disciples, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is God's expectation for all of us. Without that perfection, we will not be able to meet God. We will not be able to see him face to face in heaven. That's our yearning. That's where our sanctification. Be therefore perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That does not mean that we are perfect in every sense. There are failures. But our lives have been consecrated unto God. Means even in our failures, we want to be perfect in the sense that we want to deal with our failures in the right way so that God will be pleased. And that's what I just now shared from the life of David. Even when mistakes came, he confessed. He rose from his failure and came to the Lord with repentance so that he could journey in that perfection, a consecrated heart. That's what God's desire for all of us. David reminds Solomon, Solomon, my life has been such a journey. Don't you know that? But I always committed my life so that even God himself testified of David's own life, a man after God's own heart. That's what God told concerning David. A perfect heart, a consecrated heart, an undivided attention to God. That is what a consecrated heart. You can take note of that. An undivided attention to God. An undivided attention toward God. Chapter 29, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3 is the next chapter. Let me just read. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have set my affection to the house of my God. That is undivided attention. That is a consecrated heart. David was so engrossed in the things of God. As he built his beautiful palace, David said, Lord, I am not fully satisfied. I want to build a house for you. David's affection toward God. I have set my affection to the house of my God. Then God told him, you are not that person to build it. David worked extra doubly hard to make sure that all the physical preparations he could do. My dear friends, why? He could have said, Lord, if you don't allow me to do that, okay then. I'm not going to care anything about that. Let my son prepare everything for that. No. He doubly worked hard to make sure that all the things are done, that his son will only go and put things together and finish the work. I have set my affection to the house of my God. Consecrated heart. Consecrated heart. The reason that God expects, the reason that David expected a consecrated heart from his son is in verse 9, the second part over there. For the Lord searcheth what? Hearts. The Lord searches our hearts. Blessed are those who are pure in their hearts. It is not your cleverness. It is not your capability. It is not the power that you can maneuver things. You can speak so convincingly and make sure that your things are one. It is not there. It is not there that the Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased as he looks into our hearts and see there is that sincerity to love God, to serve him, to desire only his glory, his greatness, his kingdom flourish. That is a consecrated heart, my dear friends. That is a consecrated heart. The Lord searches not our riches, not our givings. The Lord searches your heart, my heart. Of course, when our heart is clean and pure, we will definitely give for the work of the Lord from our heart. Praise God. We would definitely serve Praise God. But first and foremost, we don't do any of these things to get a favor from men. We don't do any of these things to get a favor from men. That's why sometimes I don't bother. That's one of my weaknesses. And you need to forgive me. Please. We are so engrossed in the glory of God. In the glory of God. We want to serve. That all glory and honor unto the Lord. And the Lord searches the heart. My dear brothers and sisters. The Lord searches the heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is where the consecration of the heart comes in. That's where the consecration of the heart comes in. Secondly, when David called his son to follow his God and serve him, David says, A willing mind. What is mind has to do? If heart is where we take the decision, the emotions where we take the decision to serve Him, it is the mind where our thoughts develop. Our understanding comes in, takes a shape. So David wanted Solomon to captivate his thoughts by the guidance of God's will and plan for his life. First, his desires come from his heart, but the desires should be with the right understanding. That's where the mind comes in, the thought pattern. By the way, our heart and mind, for all of us, must work it together. The desires come from the passion, those things come from the heart. And then the mind, it is correctly formed by the understanding. That's where the mind comes in. So David wanted Solomon to understand this, his thoughts. Whatever he is willing to do in his life must be captivated with the right understanding. So, I mentioned like this, all the imaginations of the thoughts, okay? All the imaginations of the thoughts, all the dreams come from here, our mind. All our dreams, our imaginations, be captivated by the power of God's word. And that's where the guidance comes in. God's word. God's principles, God's commandments must guide us, must motivate us, must force us to desire, to plan things that are pleasing unto God. And in fact, that is where the true transformation happens, when our heart and mind that way work together. True transformation. We know Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that great verse, as Paul reminds the believers at Rome. What does he say? Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. When our heart is with so much worldly things, when our heart is so much with worldly things, worldly passions, worldly ambitions, what happens? Our thoughts will come only that way. Our thoughts will be only that way. I want to get this thing and that thing. And, you know, we always compare with the worldly standards and worldly systems and worldly patterns. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. Don't go according to all the passions of the world that comes from a sinful heart. But be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. That's what David tells Solomon. You must have a loyal heart. You must have a perfect heart and with a willing mind. A mind that is controlled by the transforming power of God's pattern, God's plan, God's instruction, God's command for our lives. A willing mind. In fact, again, the second part of that verse explains what is that, the willing mind, and understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. God searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. Our thoughts. If our thoughts are not according to God's plan and will, that contradicts. There would be a big problem for us, that we find it so difficult in going in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And that happens for so many of us. It happens so many of us. So many of us are in greater conflicts. Conflicts of interest in the secular term. Conflicts of interest. That happens in our own spiritual life as well. That we want to accomplish, our flesh want to accomplish the worldly things, worldly passions of our heart. We are pulled apart. But David says, Solomon, there is a way out. Understand. A perfect heart, a loyal heart, a willing mind, and there comes a rightful understanding, all the imaginations of the thoughts. What you need to do? You seek God. When we have a loyal heart and when we have a willing mind, what we would do? We will seek God. Okay? We will seek God. We want to seek God. We want to seek God. Our children want to seek God. In that seeking of God, we want to make sure our life is built. In that seeking of God, we want to accomplish things for God. In fact, that's what my final point when we come to verse 10. The third thing that David reminds Solomon, take a heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Now listen to this. Be strong. Be strong and do it. A working hand, a consecrated heart, a willing mind, and finally, a working hand. A working hand. But first, those two things that we meditated already, as David reminded Solomon in verse 9, they are the foundations. They are the foundations. A loyal heart, a willing mind. They are the foundations. That's where transformation, the spiritual transformation, has already happened. With that spiritual transformation, a heart that is consecrated to God, a thought pattern that goes along with God's will for your life, you have already been captivated by God's plan and will for your life. And now, take heed now. For what? David tells Solomon, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Friends, it is so sad that many times our service in serving God go in vain. I'm telling this generally, because we don't understand this principle, biblical principle, that David counsels his son. Our service goes in vain. Many give their lives, saying that we want to serve God, but ended up serving mammon, ended up serving pleasure, ended up serving prestige, ended up serving for the benefits of the family. These are two foundational things that David reminds Solomon. Get wrong. So it is so crucial. And this is why this morning I wanted to spend some time to bring to all of us, as we are called to build godly homes, godly lives, and that way serve together. We all are in service, okay? Please. The Lord has created us that we serve Him. Serve Him is our eternal calling. Serving God is our eternal calling. Please. I am called to serve full time, and many of you are called to serve part time when it comes to the ministry that we are talking about. But we all are serving God. That's why God created us. That's why our life here. Yes, some of you work in IT firms, some of you work in schools and colleges and different firms, some work in shops and different places. These all are God's appointments in my life, in your lives, that we use all those things for the service of God. So that's why even in our workplace, we glorify God. Aren't we? If you're not able to glorify God in your workplace, okay, whether it is Oracle or whether it is Google or whether it is, what else? So many, right? So many IT firms. So many workplaces that we are involved. God has placed us in those places that we glorify God. We bear testimony. That's part of our calling. That's part of our transformed life. Consecrated heart, willing mind, that all those blessings the Lord has placed on us, the Lord has called us by His sovereign plan and will, we use it for the service of God, for the service of God. The wisdom that you gain from those places, we use it for the glory of the Lord. Praise God. The expertise. So some of you serve as the elder in the church or deacon in the church. Those experiences are good. of course, need to be used with God giving, God's wisdom should guide us over there. Don't say that, oh, I served in the IT world for 15 years, 30, I am smarter than the pastor. So I control the church. That is nonsense. That is nonsense. We all work together, serve together. Pastor has a different calling. Elder has a calling along with the pastor to support, work together. A deacon has a calling to stand together, work together, not in conflict. Not in conflict. That is destruction. Work together. Work together. But for which heart consecration? A mind that is controlled by the wisdom and the guidance and the mercies of God. And then take heed now, for the Lord has chosen. The Lord has chosen you. The Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Working hand, working hand. Solomon that way was a chosen vessel. The Lord gave the blueprint to David, or before that to Moses. And Solomon had to make sure, follow that blueprint, not with Solomon's own wisdom. When with our hands we work, when with our hands we work, when we serve God, we make sure it is according to God's blueprint. In order to do so, what is needed? Your heart, my heart, consecration, a willing mind, without which the hand will go its own way for personal glory, for personal gain. That's why I earlier mentioned, if this consecration of the heart and willingness of the mind controlled by the God's commandments and instructions, oh, our service would be in great disaster. Our service would be in great disaster. You know, this man Solomon, having heard this instruction, this counsel from his father, there were times he deviated, right? There were times he deviated. When he deviated, he ended up in great disaster. He ended up in great disaster. But later, the Lord brought him back. The Lord brought him back. And this is Solomon. This is Solomon taught us a great lesson. The Lord brought him back, and finally, you know, when he came back into the right relationship with the Lord, this is Solomon. That's where my conclusion. In the conclusion, I mentioned, this is Solomon. This is Solomon. That conclusion can appear on the screen. This is Solomon. Gave that great instruction to the church. What was that instruction? You look at the conclusion over there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Solomon understood that the true worth of life, the true worth of life, not centered on one's fleshly gains, abilities, accomplishments, but the true worth of one's life centered on this pertinent lesson. As Solomon puts it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we fear God, my dear friends, our heart, our mind, our hands are for the Lord. When we fear God, our heart, our mind, our hands are for the Lord. Or in other words, when the consecration of the heart happens, when the mind is willing, when the hand is ready to do all these things, because in that man, what is there? The fear of the Lord is there. In that man, the fear of the Lord is there. With the fear of the Lord, the heart consecration comes. The willing mind comes. And your action, your service to the glory of God. Today, I want to stop it here. I will continue. I want to discuss a few things about the fear of the Lord with regard to Solomon. That's God willing next week. But for now, this is what? The counsel, godly, wise counsel for our lives. Listen, my dear friends, from this great man David. Although there were many failures in his life, he stands out as one of the great Christian leaders. David stands out one of the great Christian leaders. Not I said, the Lord Jesus himself said, a man after mine own hands, a man after God's own heart. What was his final parting words for his son Solomon and for the church? Take note of these two verses that we meditated this morning. And you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. Dear children, you may be a failure in your studies. You may be a failure in the secular accomplishments. Don't worry. If you have the fear of God, if you have these are three things that David mentions here. Your life is worth living. Your life will be worth living. We all will not be a Bill Gates. We all will not be a Ratan Tata. We all will not be an Ambani. Never mind. Never mind. Where we are, in our lowliness, in our frailty, don't be discouraged. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Make sure our heart is gripped by the love of God. And that is where consecration. Make sure our mind is captivated by the wisdom of God. By the wisdom of God. Make sure our hands are doing that which is pleasing unto the Lord. Once your heart is there, once your mind is there, and the hand will automatically do it. Oh, that is what accomplishment in this life. True accomplishment. That's a true legacy. That's a true legacy. This great man, David, passed on to Solomon. What we have for our children, what we have for our own lives, whatever the Lord has blessed us with, whatever things that you are engaged in, please continue, but make sure it is all because of this God guiding us, helping us. Accordingly, our hearts have been transformed. Our minds have been renewed. Our hands are doing that which is pleasing unto the Lord. And in my parting word, let me just mention this. What we have experienced yesterday here in our church, exactly the same what we experienced yesterday. When godly men and women come together with a consecrated heart, with a willing mind, with a hands that is willing to do according to God's will and for God's glory, Heavenly Father will be magnified. Heavenly Father will be glorified. It was so evident yesterday, my dear friends. It was so evident. And I was so happy. And I know all of us were so happy. Because God is glorified. Not pastor is glorified. Not elder is glorified. Not deacon is glorified. God is glorified, my dear friends. That is where we are. That is where we are. I pray, I pray. That spirit will take us forward. That is godly spirit. That is godly spirit. That should be the way forward. That must be the way forward. That's my humble prayer. That's my humble desire. And I hope all of you would agree. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. Let us work together. Let us work together. Let us serve this God together. Our hearts are consecrated. Our hearts are consecrated for God. Our minds are renewed by the commandments of God. So our hands are ready to do that which is pleasing to God. Our hands are ready. Whatever gifts, talents the Lord has blessed us with, controlled by the will of God, controlled by the passion for God, controlled by the wisdom of God. Oh, so beautiful! So, how beautiful it is when 10 people, when 20 people, when 30 people, when 100 people who are controlled by this godly principle work together. How cohesively we can serve. How beautifully we can serve. How powerfully we can declare the gospel, my dear brethren. That is the ministry. That is our calling. This calling is for all of us. This calling is for all of us. Not only for David, but for Solomon and for the generations to come. That's why this passage was recorded for us. That's why this passage we can meditate this morning. I live with you, my dear brethren. I live with you. The parting words of David, that great godly man, to his son Solomon. Thou, Solomon, my son, know you the God of your father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong. Do it. May the Lord's name be honored and glorified, shall we pray.